I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 15. We're reading verses 1 to 20 today as we study what God's Word says in this particular passage. Mark chapter 15. Let's hear God's Word. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. So the chief priests accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they're accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. You know, and it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked him. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the place, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat at him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Once again, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us through your word today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. These scenes are heartbreaking for a variety of reasons. You would have to be very dispassionate from reading the scriptures to not feel moved by the scene that Mark is painting or portraying. The reaction of people to Jesus, the politics that's going on behind the scenes, the callous and hard-heartedness of soldiers used to people's deaths. All of these things are playing out in this great drama that's unfolding in front of them and for generations in front of us. The crowd have been given the luxury of making a decision. In fact, all four Gospels record their response. Who is it that you want? Jesus or Barabbas? And in all four Gospels, they say Barabbas. We don't want this man to rule over us. We would be prepared to take an insurrectionist, a thief, someone who is guilty of a crime over and against this innocent person. The soldiers, they're not much better. It's one thing putting someone to death in a cruel fashion. It's another thing mocking that person as they die. If you're a soldier, you know you have a duty. If you're wearing the uniform, you submit to your commander's instructions. But the commander doesn't necessarily suggest that you should mock or humiliate or belittle. That's a choice they made. Heal, king of the Jews. And again, they struck him in the head with a staff and spat at him. And falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. Can you imagine the restraint of God's Son? Can you imagine the restraint of the Father in heaven? It's one thing my son being beaten. It's one thing him dying a death that is prophesied. It's one thing him making an atonement for the sins of people. But when they mock my son, when soldiers fall down in false humility and false repentance and false worship and mock my son as he dies, can humanity sink much lower? Terrible enough that they could be as cruel as they were with the type of death that he would have to die. But to add to that, this false worship. And Jesus, looking at them, knew that their hearts were still hardened and unchanged. And yet in that mocking posture, they paid homage. Perhaps you can expect from those that are hardened by war and have seen numerous atrocities to be a little bit dispassionate to the grace and mercy of God. But how do you explain away the high priest and the religious authorities as they gathered? Each one of the scenes in the Gospels talk about him being crucified. And then they talk about how that the soldiers cast lots for his garments. And I want you to turn with me to John chapter 19. Page 1088 in our Pew Bibles. Beginning at verse 22 of 19. Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which Jesus said. So I want you to keep in your mind that phrase, "This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it." I want you to think about that as the soldier's response to the garment that they were casting lots over. And then flick back with me to Mark chapter 15. Chapter 14. And I want you to reflect the response of the high priest in verse 62 down to the end of verse 65. "I am," said Jesus, And all of you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him, and they blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, prophesy. And the guards took him and beat him. Now, I know you're flicking to another scripture, but flick with me to Leviticus chapter 21. This all makes sense when you place it in its context. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 10. The high priest, the one among his brothers who has had the anointing oil poured on his head, and who has been ordained to wear the priestly garments, must not let his hair become unkempt or tear his clothes. I am, said Jesus, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, coming on the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his clothes. He shouldn't have done it. In fact, and we'll come back to in a minute why he felt he could, but the Talmud also says in B.T. Zenakim 17b that those who conduct the service, the ordained priests, the high priests, must not tear their clothes. Why? No priest, neither lay nor high priest himself, is fit to serve in the temple unless he's wearing the sacred garments. As the Talmud states, while they are clothed in priestly garments, they are clothed in the priesthood. But when they are not wearing the garments, the priesthood is not upon them. And the reason why Leviticus says you are a high priest, you are not able or allowed to tear your clothes, that is God's command, because once you do that, you make yourself unfit at that moment to be a high priest. When you are wearing those garments, they must be seamless and intact. They cannot be soiled or torn. If they are, they have to be exchanged. And when the high priest stood in front of Jesus that day, and when he heard what Jesus was saying, he tore his clothes. The high priest elevating himself even above the word of God, doing something that he was expressly forbidden to do. However, they had a code book, and that code book allowed them to tear their clothes when they thought blasphemy had been committed. Now, this was meant to be the righteous indignation as to what an individual was saying. And there, at that moment, the high priest made a decision. And that decision was that Jesus is not who he claims to be. Therefore, I can take the risk of disobeying scripture and obeying the traditions of people. And I will tear my clothes as anger against his comments, even though I will render myself, according to the scriptures, incapable of performing high priestly duties. Now, in contrast to that, John chapter 19 when he was writing about the seamless garment, because the high priest's garment was also seamless. When he was writing about the robe that Jesus was wearing and the robe that the soldiers were casting lots over, he said that it was woven from top to bottom. It was seamless, just like that of the high priest. Now, if you turn with me, please, to John chapter 3. Very, very well-known passage. John chapter 3, verse 3. When Nicodemus comes to Jesus, in reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Or as the words in Greek say, born from above. Then verse 31 of John chapter 3. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything into his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains in him. Now, what's the point? When John uses his Greek words in John chapter 19 to describe the garment that Jesus had worn, that seamless robe, he said that it was woven from top to bottom. The word for top is exactly the same Greek word that is used in John chapter 3 to describe being born from above. And indeed, over in verse 31, the one who comes from above, from top, is above all. And there's a wonderful irony in this particular passage, because here, this high priest elevating himself above the word of God, listening to what Jesus said, "I will defy even what the Bible tells me, because I think that you are wrong in what you say, and you're a blasphemer rather than the Messiah. And so I will rent my clothes, I will rip my clothes, even though I know that I can no longer fulfill the function of high priest at this moment. So angry am I at your blasphemy that the code," not the Bible, "the code allows me to do this, even though God has forbidden it." Contrast that to the seamless robe of Christ, because he was the one from above. His robe was tailored in such a way as that it reminds us of who he is. It is a royal robe. And in order for the scriptures to be fulfilled, it would not be torn, because a new high priest was in place. The old high priest, through his own ignorance and anger, no longer could even fulfill that function. On the day that Jesus was crucified, he enacted something outside of scripture, but properly, in the sense that now he was defunct as a high priest anyway. His role was now completely over. But he thought he was protecting truth by doing this, but he was revealing his own sinfulness. He could not atone for the nation, but only Jesus himself could actually do it. Oh, if he had only listened to what Jesus was saying, would he have rent his clothes? Would he have defied scripture? Would he have broken the commands that God had given him? Or would he simply just have taken off his gowns? But in his own anger and self-righteousness and rebellion against God and ignorance as to who Jesus was, he committed a sin in the very presence of God that day by tearing the high priestly robe. If he'd only listened to Jesus in John chapter 3, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks only from the earth. The high priest that day was speaking from the earth and below. Jesus was speaking from above. If only he had realized that the one who comes from heaven is above all. It was Jesus on the cross who had the right to wear that robe when that priest no longer had. Aren't you glad that they didn't rip his robe that day as they cast lots over it? That the real high priest was hanging on a tree while the shadow of a man thinking that he was higher than God himself by defying the commands God had given, rent his own garments. And thus his entrance into the holies of holies was barred. What about you? What about me? How dare we ever elevate ourselves above God's revelation and word, even when we're permitted by a human code? We must always subject ourselves to the revelation of Scripture and what it teaches. Because when we don't, things can go horribly wrong. Just as it did for that high priest that particular day. But let's not look at him. Let's look at Jesus. Let's look at the one crucified for us. The real king, not just of Jews, but of Gentiles. The real high priest who was now making an atonement for sin in a way that the high priest was only able to do so annually and now not able to do so at all because he rent his own garments. Oh, there's such a beautiful drama unfolding on the cross here that if you didn't sit quietly and reflect for a minute, you'd miss it. Or if you read over it without giving it the attention that it deserves, you would have missed the point. Yeah. I wonder, as Jesus was on the cross, and it was playing itself out, and when the high priest ripped his garment, inwardly, Jesus took comfort. It's coming to an end. He doesn't know what he's doing, but I do. After all, I set the regulation. But I also know what's going to happen. When I'm on the cross, this beautiful robe that has been tailored for me by my friends, signifying, though they might not fully grasp it now, my royalty as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Even though soldiers are going to mock me and spit at me and smack me and revile me, just let me look down at that robe. I know they're not going to tear it. Scripture's already revealed that. And on the cross, Jesus knew he was the high priest, the real high priest, not a pretender, not someone born of human lineage, but someone born from above, from the top. And he came and he died for you and for me. Aren't you glad? When you look at this scene today, I'm sure you have very mixed emotions. How could people have treated him in such a way? But also when you look at it, you say, what beauty amongst the carnage. That there is a providential plan of God unfolding that means that we can sit here today and worship him. Sovereignty was still at work amongst the chaos that surrounded him. And it always is. God never loses sight of what he is saving you from and saving you to. And he is to be worshipped and adored. not in mock homage, but in surrendered love, we approach him. Let us pray. Lord, how could we ever, ever match your love? It's impossible. That you would take such abuse, and that yet you would still remain the one who is willing to give his life as a ransom. That you, the real high priest, make an atonement for our sin. Lord, help us to be willing to surrender to the ruler over all.